Good morning. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the USB International Soy Growers Alliance Biotech Missions teleconference. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Brian Baxter, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you everyone on the line for being patient and waiting as we organized ourselves this morning. It's a little bit of a stretch to work with folks who are calling in from China, but they have successfully gotten onto the line here and are ready to share some comments and updates for you on the International Soy Growers Alliance mission taking place right now. On the line with us today are Bob Hazelwood, the USB chairman who farms in Berryton, Kansas. We also have Wade Cowan, the president of the American Soybean Association, who farms in Brownfield, Texas, and Laura Fell, the chair of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, who farms in Schaller, Iowa. Also with us on the call is Paul Burke, the North Asia Regional Director for the U.S. Soybean Export Council. And as most of you probably know, they are participating with growers from around the world in the International Soy Growers Alliance. We're going to have some opening comments this morning, and then we'll kick it off and open it up for your questions. You'll need to press star one in order to get into the question queue. Again, that's star one to ask a question. So with that, let me turn it over to Laura Fell. Laura's name is spelled L-A-U-R-A-F-O-E-L-L. Again, she's the chairman of the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Laura, please make some opening comments for us. Tell us what's happening over there in China.
Well, good morning or good evening for those of us here in China. We want to thank you for joining us here today to hear a little bit about the meetings we've had this week and their purpose. As Brian mentioned, I am Laura Fell. I'm a soybean farmer from Schaller, Iowa, and chair of the U.S. Soybean Export Council. And I'm joined today, like Brian said, by my fellow soybean farmers and leaders of the United Soybean Board, Bob Hazelwood, and the American Soybean Association, Wade Cowan. This week, we had the opportunity to join with our counterparts from South America, and this included farmers from Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil. And we're part of the International Soy Growers Alliance, or ISGA. And we met with Chinese buyers, government officials, and influencers. This is the second mission that our organization has taken part in with our Chinese partners to discuss the importance of timely, science-based approvals for biotech soybeans. But what really makes this mission especially interesting is that we brought with us a white paper that shows the economic impacts of slow biotech approvals by not only China, but other countries as well. And this slow approval does impact farmers and consumers of purchasing countries. This data helps put a value on the problems caused by the biotech approval systems that are not based on science. So as we were armed with this information, we joined the farmers from the countries of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, to show that we have a united front because we represent more than 90% of the world's soybean exports. And as we all know, China is a big importer of soybeans. So far this year, they have imported 1.04 billion bushels of soybeans, which is well ahead of last year. And we released the public white paper, was released on Tuesday. So we all know how important China is to us, and we want to have that strong partnership that we have with them. So we're committed to providing all of our customers with a safe, reliable source of our quality soybeans. Now, before taking any questions, I'd like to give Bob and Wade a chance to give a few observations from our meetings this week. Bob?
Thank you, Laura. As we look through this, and people are probably out there questioning a little bit, why are we partnering with what many farmers might consider our competitors? But, you know, when ISGA was formed we were looking for opportunities where there are common problems that we as soybean producers, regardless of where we live, often face. One of them would be the approvals of our new biotech events. We've also talked about the acceptance of GMO products in general, and how we've talked with our partners in this organization on how we can help do to influence consumer opinion of these biotech events, and how we can hurry along, because as we approve these new events, it's going to benefit both us in the States, in our country, and the other countries. And as, like Laura said, we do represent over 90% of the exportable soybeans, and that is a force to be reckoned with. So we all know that the size of the China market is that we are going to, it's going to take all the world production as soybean demand increases. It's going to take all of us to be able to meet that demand.
Well, thanks, Bob. Wade, could you add a few thoughts from this week on what you learned and your impressions?
Well, as you go into an ever-increasingly dependent world that depends on interaction between different countries, it's very important that we come together with our partners in South America and develop a working relationship and the trust that we need to, so that when we look towards how we will feed the countries that we live in and the rest of the world into the rest of this century, that we come with a united message and deal with the problems that we're facing in agriculture, not only the GM problems, but the problems of freedom to operate, the problems that we have with an ever-increasing demand for environmental impact, sustainability, and the pollinators issue, just the different issues that hit each and every one of us, all the way from the north to south in both of the Americas. And so as we come together, we really form a worthwhile institution that is working more closely together than it ever has. And we hope that as we move forward, this unity in purpose will lead to increased production and increased productivity, and also increased profits, and help meet the needs of an ever-growing world and an ever-growing population.
Thanks, Wade. Brian, I guess we'll turn it back over to you for opening up for questions, and we'll try to have some answers.
Okay, Laura, thanks for that. Thanks to Bob Hazelwood and Wade Cowan and Laura Fell there in China. And we are going to open it up now for your questions. You're going to press *1 to alert Tony, our operator, that you have a question. While you're getting in the question queue, I want to give you some websites that are valuable. The UnitedSoybean.org website is the Soybean Checkoff's website. That's UnitedSoybean.org. You heard Laura Fell from the U.S. Soybean Export Council. She chairs it. Their website is USEC, USSEC.org. And, of course, ASA's website, the American Soybean Association, is SoyGrowers.org. And with that, Tony, do we have any questions in the queue?
Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And there are no questions.
All right. We'll let folks get organized and go ahead and ask your question whenever you have the opportunity. But let me kick it off. Laura, I'm curious, what did you all learn then about the costs of the approval delays on biotech over there?
Well, one of the things that we learned through the white paper was that globally, since we've had biotech soybeans, we have benefited the consumer by over $15 billion between 1996 and 2009. And we all know that we need to keep technology moving. So if we have new herbicides with associated new biotech, that's going to be necessary to maintain effective weed control. But if we would happen to have a 3-year delay, that would end up in getting a new approvals in other countries, that could cost nearly $19 billion to both producers and consumers. And farmers will be having to use different modes of action, and the consumer would end up paying 70% of the cost and the producers 30%, because we want to make sure that we're using different modes of action and make sure we do not continue to have weed resistant increases. Wade?
Well, also what we've learned over here in what we learned in the white paper that we've all worked together in North and South America is that as we move forward and there are delays that cost the consumer, but every time you have any kind of blip in this production chain, then it negatively impacts the consumer continually more than it does us as producers. And so if we had a drought in the future that was just half of the impact of 2012, the white paper showed that it would be a $50 billion cost, and it would almost entirely be borne by the consuming public. And so we need to do everything we can to prevent the delays, not only in the traits that are already in the market, but by having them more efficiently brought to the market, then we'll eliminate some of the delays in the companies being able to develop new traits, such as the drought tolerance and the high oleic oils, and some of the new products that will benefit the consumer even more.
Bob, do you have anything you'd like to add to that from the white paper?
Well, you know, when we look at the white paper, I think a lot of the main points have been touched on the white paper. But, you know, there's kind of unforeseen costs that that are kind of hard to put a value on as we work forward. And if the tech companies, can run into continued delays in bringing new varieties or new biotech events forward, with the cost involved in working with these biotech events, the question is how willing will they be to invest money in new events if delays continue? If they that's not always a cost that we have not been able to put a pencil to, but it's a concern that if we are going to continue to supply high quality soybeans to help an ever growing demand, it's going to take the new biotech vents along with other resources we use to provide that demand, meet that demand.
And one of the other things is that China has slowed down their approval process. So in the past, we've had more timely approvals, but with the slowdown, this paper was to develop, to have them understand what would be the impacts of their slowing of their approval process.
Okay, thanks for those comments. And with that, I want to go back to Tony, our operator. Tony, do we have any questions in the queue now?
We do have a question from the line of Larry Merrick.
Larry, please go ahead.
Okay. Hey, first I want to thank the three of you for taking valuable time this time of the year to attend this conference and try to get these problems worked out. My question is, are you seeing, since you've been there, are you seeing a better understanding and much progress toward the acceptance of the biotech genetics? And is there any possible time frame being established?
Larry, I don't know if there's any time frame established. We have been told that through our meetings that they are working according to the letter of their law, and they've also told us that they are getting some consumer resistance to biotech and GMO varieties in their own countries, and that's one of the things that we as ISGA members have discussed is ways that we can work together to help educate maybe even the consumers in China.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else, Larry?
Well, I guess that's it. I'm really concerned about the GMO issue. It's one of those tools that we have that really helps us keep sustainable. And it's, in my mind, a safer product that we produce because we don't have to worry about the pesticide residue that we have to use if we don't have GMO. I just wish that there was a better understanding of that by the people that you know, that are consumers. But I know this there's a lot of buzz about you know, on social media, and a lot of then it gets unanswered questions in those people's minds, and I think that's a problem. It's, they're scared of maybe something that's not there. So that's just my comment, and that's my questions, and I thank you again for
Larry,
for being
this
there.
Is
yes.
Laura again.
Yes.
On
yes.
Tuesday, we had a forum with probably 80 people from either government or press or industry, and we had we rolled out the white paper, and we had a lot of questions, and we also went into detail with the Chinese officials on what were the impacts, both socially and economically. And, and then we had a press conference later with the Chinese, because in China there's a lot of media is having an anti-biotechnology stance. So we were trying to reach out to them to make sure. And Bob was our representative on that the panel. So I think they were interested to hear from real farmers. And we made ourselves available during a reception and during the meeting where we talked with these officials, and so did the South Americans about the importance of biotechnology to our operations and how we're sustainable using biotechnology.
Very good.
Okay,
well,
Larry,
I guess that's something we have to just keep working on, and good luck to all of you over there. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Larry. And Tony, we'll go back to you and see if we have another question in the queue.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That is star 1 to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay. And Laura, I want to follow up a little bit on what Larry was questioning. Do you have plans to address questions from Chinese consumers, excuse me, that are unsure about biotechnology?
Well, that was one of the things that we're working with our fellow farmers from South America through the International Soy Growers Alliance. We're going to be working on a website that will show farmers actually doing their work and how that benefits not only biotechnology, benefits not only them, but it also benefits the consumer. And the United Soybean Board in this past year has developed a program where we have sent farm moms to China, and they are meeting with social media bloggers, and so that they are able to put a face, because when they told us that when a lot of times when some Chinese people hear the word farmer, they think peasants. And so this is a chance for the Chinese professional women, who are usually the buyers of the groceries for the family, can see that these women who are farmers are professional, and that they do care, and that they do feed their families biotech GMO crops. So this next year we'll be working with the South Americans to have their women also participate in these trade missions and also be part of the website where we can showcase not only U.S. farm women and farmers, but South American farmers as well. Wade, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, we'll also be working to develop new messaging that goes beyond just China, that goes as an ISGA group out to Europe, to all the consumers, and to make a united message and to make available the information from a multinational group of producers to the public. And I think that will be very useful as they get the ISGA website up and running.
Okay, thanks for those comments. And again, if you want to ask a question of your own, you can hit star 1. That'll put you in the question queue. Tony, do we have anybody else on the line with a question?
And there are no questions at this time.
Okay. I have one last one here, and I'm just curious. You've been with growers from Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Canada, Uruguay over there. Did you learn anything from those folks as you were in your meetings?
You always do. You always learn something whenever you talk to producers, whether it's me talking to a producer from Minnesota or Paraguay or Argentina. But what you learn is that we face similar obstacles in each and every one of our countries. We were talking this morning in the group, and 95% of the issues that face soybean farmers are the same issues all across the soybean production regions of the earth. Now, there may be some specialized things that Argentina faces or that South America faces that are different from North America, but we've come together, and the good thing is that we are able and willing to message together where that we put our voice behind the message of our South American brothers in when we face problems. And when they have a problem, we're willing to step up with them as long as it's an issue that is doesn't hurt the North American producer. And we're willing to step up, and we're willing to put our voice behind their concerns too, because what benefits them benefits us and vice versa. And that's the real value in what's going on over here, is that when we work together and when we learn these ways of working together, and we learn the trust of each other, that's the most valuable thing we can have, because as we go forward, it's an interconnected world, like I said earlier, and we've just got to get to the point where we can cooperate and we can achieve our goals.
And we also know we are competitors, but we do have, like Wade said, a lot in common. And only by working together can we solve some of those problems as we try to feed the world.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for those comments. And Tony, we'll go back one more time. Anybody else with a question on the line before we wrap things up?
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And there are no further questions, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. And thank you to all who have called in and joined us for this call today, especially our speakers from China, Bob Hazelwood, Wade Cowan, and Laura Fell. I know they're getting ready for the end of their evening over there. We really appreciate it, all of you over there, both representing soybean farmers and also calling in today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the time, and we appreciate all the efforts that are being put forth, not only here in the U.S., I mean here in China, but also in the U.S. with the planting season coming. And there'll be some information on one of those websites that Brian mentioned about how to get a hold of the white paper.
Very good. And with that, we'll wrap things up. Again, the International Soy Growers Alliance meeting in China this week, talking about the issue of biotechnology and seeing what can be done to overcome some of the challenges that we have in shipping soybeans to the world market, and in particular China. Thanks to all our media on the call today. Again, if you want more information, a good place to start is the website unitedsoybean.org. You can also go to ussec.org. That's the U.S. Soybean Export Council. And, of course, the American Soybean Association, and that's soygrowers.org. Again, thanks very much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Presenters, please stay on the line.